Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochem Daf Ayin Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin from the Mishnah at the top of Ayin Dalid, the beginning of the 7th Perek of Psochem. Before we begin the Mishnah, at the side of our Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading, under which we've written, Ketzad Tzoylin Es HaPesach. We've taken the name of the Perek and adopted it here in our introduction, namely, how is the Korban Pesach to be roasted? One point of information is that the Korban Pesach is to be roasted whole. In other words, the animal is to be put on a skewer and roasted in a fire. As far as the definition of fire and what is acceptable for the roasting, that will be a discussion in the Gemara. The Mishnah will deal with Be'ezer Shipud, what kind of skewer is used, namely the material that's acceptable, bearing in mind that, as we said, the Korban Pesach must be roasted in fire, and that is as opposed to, for example, being boiled up in a pot of water. The next issue is Be'ezer Tzura Manichim Es HaBosar. How is the animal placed on the skewer, taking into consideration that we want the whole animal to be together, as opposed to, let's say, roasting it limb by limb. So now we read the Mishnah. Ketzat Tzoylin Es HaPesach. How is the roasting of the Pesach to take place? Mevien Shpud Shel Rimon. A Shpud, a skewer of Rimon, Rimon is often translated as pomegranate. So it'll be pomegranate wood. Is a skewer of pomegranate wood is brought, v'tochvo l'soich piv, and it's inserted into the mouth of the animal. The animal, of course, is a korban pesach, is a sheep or a goat. Ad beis nekuvoso, it would be go through the entire animal from mouth to its posterior section, to the orifice that's located at the posterior of the animal. The nosein es krov ves b'ne'ov b'nei me'ov l'socho, and its krov, its legs, and its b'nei me'ov, its innards. Innards, of course, are organs other than those that are removed for being burnt on the altar. But the other organs that are part of the eating are placed inside the animal. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Haglili. So we have the animal on a skewer with its legs and its inner organs inside of it. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Rabbi Kiva objects to this, and he says that if you leave the inner organs inside the animal while the animal, the exterior, is being roasted, so it's kemin bishul hu zeh, it is then as if the inner organs are being cooked, so that you can imagine the outer part of the animal that's exposed to the fire is getting heated up, while the organs that are inside the animal are basically boiling within. So Rabbi Akiva does not like the Rabbi Yossi Haglili approach. Now the toilin chutzo lo, rather the organs are suspended on this, they're attached, or they're on the skewer outside the animal, above the animal's mouth. Ein solin es haPesach lo al hashpud. It's not to be roasted on a shpud. That's a skewer made of iron. Velo al hoaskala, nor on a grating. Omar Rabbi Yitzadok, Maisa Bragum Liel, Shomar Letevi Avdo. Rabbi Tzadok reports to us an incident where Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Gamliel, turned to his servant Tevi. And he requested that Tevi should roast the Korban Pesach on a grating. The Gemara will ask, this is a kind of an odd setup where the Mishnah first tells you not to roasted on an askalah, and then it gives you an incident where it was roasted on an askalah. Generally speaking, maisim, incidents that are brought in Mishnayos, are there to support that which was taught earlier, and here it seems to contradict. Before we continue in the Gemara itself, we notice a geometric form, in this case a diamond, which is one of our many series markings. On the side we have, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, here we have a topic heading and a structural note combined. The diamond is featured, and we've written Hatsaos Nosofos, additional suggestions, Lesuge Shipudi Benosof LeRimon. In addition to the Rimon, the pomegranate wood that we mentioned earlier, the Gemara has some additional skewer suggestions. So the Gemara asks, "V'nesi shel mateches, why not bring a metallic skewer?" So the Gemara answers, and you'll see that the double underline here is used to highlight the dechios, the rejections. So he says, "Aidi dechamiktsoso chamkulo." The nature of metal is that when part of it becomes hot, so the heat is conducted throughout the entire skewer, so that chamik soso, part becomes hot, the rest becomes hot, the matvi machmas hashpud, and the korban pesach, the animal meat, ends up getting roasted as a result of the skewer. The skewer's intense heat, that when the end of the skewer that's over the fire, that's exposed to the fire, gets heated up, then that heat is conducted throughout the metal rod that constitutes the skewer, and the rod, the part of the rod that's inside the animal, is in effect cooking up the animal from within. V'rachmona Omar, and the Torah has ordered tzli eish. That's a quote from the pasuk. V'lo tzli machmas dovar acher, and not roasting through some other medium. So on the grounds of tzli eish v'lo tzli machmas dovar acher, we reject the metallic skewer. And once again, that's because of the nature of metal as a conductor of heat. V'nesi shel dekel, why not bring palm wood? Rejection. Aidi de'is le shivi, since the type of wood that is characteristic of palm wood, that it has shivi. Shivi, Rashi says, she'asui shuros, it's has a number, it's rigid, or ridge, with ridges in it, and rows of wood material inside of it. Mapik mayo, it causes it to release water. Vahave kemevushal, and in effect the water then will be cooking the korban pesach. So it's because of this release of water as a result of the shivi phenomenon, it then makes it like the korban pesach is being cooked as opposed to roasted in fire. V'nesi shelteina, why not bring fig wood? The Gemara answers, aidi de mechalchel mapik maya v'have le kimavushal. The word mechalchel, Rashi says, ke'etz shel arova v'shel ego sheish lehen moyach mibifnim. It's a type of inside the wood, there's a type of substance, moach in other contexts is translated as marrow, but here we're talking about wood, but it has some kind of internal botanical construction that results in the release of water. And again, like we said, by the dekel, so too we say by the teino, it becomes like mevushal, like being cooked in the water. V'nesi shel alon shel choruv v'shel shikma. Why not use these different kinds of woods? The alon wood, or choruv wood, or shikma wood. The Gemara rejects them as well. Id the is be kitri mapik maya, since they have kitri are knots. And what happens is when you have wood with knots in it, you're going to cut off the knots, and from that point there will be a release of absorbed liquids or water from the wood into the meat, thereby cooking the meat and not having it roasted. The question is, well, shel rimon nami is be kitri. The rimon wood that the Mishnah suggests also has knots in it. The Gemara says, shi'i kitrei. Its knots are smooth, and hence there's no need for them to be cut off. and therefore there's no problem of water release. V'boyesemo, another explanation of why rimon is kosher, is benavgo bar shosa, the less be kitri. It's a very young rimon tree. It's a one-year-old rimon tree, and it doesn't have knots. The Gemara asks for hal ika be paske, but is there not the part of the branch that you're using as a skewer that was cut off, and that releases water? The Gemara answers the mapik lebe paske lebar. When you're skewering the animal on this branch, on this stick of rimon wood, the part of the wood that was cut off from the main trunk of the tree, that part of the wood is left outside the animal. So, though there may be water release, but it's not being released into the animal, thereby cooking it. Masnisen the lo kerebi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is not like the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda Desanya, and as we go through the source, we'll then point out the contrast. The source says Rebbe Yehuda Omer kishem shishput shel eitz eino nisraf, just like the shpud, the skewer made of wood, doesn't get burnt. Kach shpud shel mateches eino marsiach. The metal skewer does not get heated up. So that you can see where we've dashed underline shpud shel mateches eino marsiach. This is counter to what our Mishnah had spoken about. And in other words, when our Mishnah rejected using the shpud of Barzel, Rebbe Yehuda disagrees. Omru lo, the Rabbonon said to Rebbe Yehuda, ze cham miksosu cham kulo. The mateches, the metal, when part of it gets heated, the whole thing gets heated. As we explained earlier, you have the heat conduct phenomenon. And veze, the wood, cham miksosu v'eno, eno cham kulo, the external part of the spit of the skewer that's over the fire, that does get heated up, but the heat is not conducted throughout the wood inside the animal. Venosein es krov ves bnei me'ov l'soichoi. Our Mishnah described the positioning of the legs and the organs in its being roasted. Tanya Rabbi Shmuel koreu tuch. Rabbi Shmuel, as Rashi points out, he holds of this idea of having the legs and the organs placed inside the animal, and he calls it tuchtuch. Now, tuchtuch is essentially an onomatopoeia, where that's the sound that is heard while the animal is being roasted. Rabbi Tarfon koreo gedi mekulas. Rabbi Tarfon refers to the roasted korban pesach. Gedi is a goat, and a goat is one of the animals that's acceptable as a korban pesach. He calls it gedi mekulas. Now let's take a look at Rashi in the lower part of the narrow lines. Mekulas loshon kova nechoshes. Metargaminon kulsa de nechosha. It's a copper helmet. De svira lay. Now here, without the Rashi, it would be hard to see, but there's an argument in this source. Rabbi Tarfon disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel, whereas Rabbi Shmuel said that the organs and legs are placed inside the animal, he, Rabbi Tarfon, says it is placed outside the animal. De svira lay toilin lemalo birosho v'nirim kekova nechoshes al rosh gibor, that the organs are placed outside the animal on its head while it's being roasted on the skewer, and it gives you the impression as if the animal has a type of helmet on it, and hence the term mekulos, which is a copper helmet. We continue in the Gemara with a topic heading on the side where we've written gedi mekulos. Tana Rabbanan, eizehu gedi mekulos de osur lechol belele pesach bizman hazeh. What is the gedi mekulos that's forbidden for us nowadays, where there is no base hamikdash, hence it's forbidden for us to prepare a roasted meat for the Seder night in this fashion? So what fashion or method of preparation would be usher nowadays, where there is no base hamikdash? And if we were to prepare it like they did in the base hamikdash, people would get the impression that you can offer sacrifices outside the Beis HaMikdash. So as to prevent any misunderstanding, we forbid the roasting of our, or the preparation of our Pesach night meat in a Gedi Mekulos fashion. So what is that fashion that we refer to as Gedi Mekulos? Kol Shetzol Oi Kuloi Ka'echad. Any situation where the roasting of the meat is where you would take the entire animal that you're planning to eat for your Pesach Seder night, roasting it whole. Nechtach Mimenu Ever. If a limb is removed from the meat you're roasting, Nishlak Mimenu Ever, or a limb is cooked, Ein Ze Gedi Mekulos. That would no longer fall under the prohibition of Gedi Mekulos. The Gemara asks regarding this source, Hashto Yesh Lomar Nechtach Mimenu Ever. Once you tell me that if a limb is removed, the Afogav De Komatfi Le V'Hadei Amrislo, even though it's being roasted together with it, all that the source said, all that's needed to matir the situation, is if one of the limbs of your Pesach night meat, that one of the limbs of the animal is removed, and it's removed meaning it's separated, but when the roasting plate takes place, it's roasted all together. But that's okay, because one of the limbs was cut off before it was, let's say, reattached to the skewer. Once you tell me that's okay, so nishlak mibaya, do I have to tell you that in the case of boiling it is allowed? That's certainly going to be allowed. If we look in the Rashi, nishlak mibaya, kasalka daitoch, the nechtach, v'hoder nishlak. The thinking right now is that it's cut off, kept separate, and then boiled later. And once it's cut off before it's roasting, it's no longer mekulas. So the Gemara's question regarding this source is: there seems to be a point of either you call it redundancy or something that's obvious that is being taught, and we don't like to have points that are obvious. The Gemara answers, Amar Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes explains that the case of the boiling is Shesholkoi b'mechubar. Regarding the boiling, it was boiled without any limb being cut off to begin with. So there are two separate halachas taught in this source. If you're planning to roast it in fire, then as long as you cut off a limb before you do the roasting, even though it's roasted together, as the Gemara said, it's afogav de kol matfilei bahadei, but a limb was cut off before you started the roasting. That's one method that's okay, bizman hazeh. And another situation that would be okay is if you choose to boil up an entire animal that hasn't had any limbs removed from it. That too is okay. Omar Rabo, hai mul yusah sharia. Now let's take a look at the Rashi. Hai mul yusah. He opens with a French word. He says, "Kemo she'onu mimalim hatloim v'hatarnegolim bein boser latzamos." This an example of this would be where a person stuffs the animal between the meat and its bones. People add stuffing between the meat and the bones. That is okay. And the topic here is going to be a topic we would classify in the realm of kashrus. And we're not dealing right now with the preparation of the Korban Pesach, but rather an issue of what is considered kosher. And more specifically, we're focusing on the issue of the blood of the animal. And blood is something that is strictly forbidden for a Jew to consume. So the topic heading that we have on the side is Mul Yisah. Mul Yisah is this stuffing. Kibolo kachpolto, as it absorbs the blood from the meat while it's being roasted, it also releases it. Polto is it releases it, it casts out, it exudes the blood. So Rabo says, "Hai muyso sharia, the preparation of the meat using a stuffing is okay." Omale Abaye asks, "Vaho kibolo doma, is there not absorption of blood?" In other words, as the animal is roasting, is it not so that the blood goes from the meat into this stuffing? Amarle, so Rabo answers, Kibol'o, kach polto, as it absorbs it, it also exudes it. It's both both actions take place at one time. So as far as the owner is concerned, he's not going to be eating any absorbed blood. The blood was released. As you can see, we have a triangle marking, and on the side under our Mivneh heading, we note that these triangles are Nisyonos. They represent attempts, L'sayeya L'rabba, the Omar Kabolo Kachpolta, to support Rabba, who says that as it absorbs, it will release. These triangles continue till the top section of Omid Beis. So the Gemara says, Nemo Misayale, can we support Rabba? No sein es krov es b'nei me'ov l'socho. In our Mishnah, we learned that the Korban Pesach is roasted in such a way that the organs and the legs are placed inside the animal. And now, my time, why is that allowed? Is there not a problem of the blood going from the meat into the into these organs and being left there? So lav mishum d'aminon kibolo kach polto, is it not because we say that as it absorbs, it also releases? The Rashi explains the question, second line from the bottom, the ha kobola hatle dam hayotze min abosu akonus besocho, so that our explanation just needs a little refining, that you have the organs that are stuffed into the animal, are those organs not in fact releasing blood, and then the blood would go into the meat that's outside of the organs, and is that not a problem? So we answer that kibolo kach polto. So if that is the pshat, if that's the explanation in the Mishnah, so that would be a support to Rabba, who says regarding the stuffing, there's no blood left in the stuffing because kibolo kach polto, as it absorbed it, it also released it. The Gemara rejects by saying that this is not a support to Rabba. Shiny Hossam, the case of the Korban Pesach is different. Kevin the Ika base hashchita de mechalchel, since you have the base hashchita, that's the neck of the animal. In other words, since the Korban Pesach is roasted, essentially it's the entire animal put on the skewer, including the neck. And the neck has been severed, and the various tubes, organs that are in the neck, and the arteries that are there, the Gemara says at the top, made of daivi, the blood has an easy exit point. It flows out through those through the base hashchita, as Rashi says at the top of Omid Beis, made of daivi, lefi shekishenitle betanur upi base shritos lamata, as the animal is on a skewer and it's suspended with its neck facing down, so hadam yoytze derech halal. The blood flows out the opening of the neck. So that in that case is different than a simple case of preparing meat with stuffing between the bones and the meat, where maybe the blood remains in the stuffing. So we can't bring a proof to Rabba's heter, Rabba's leniency or allowance regarding the Muyusa from the case of the Mishnah. Because in the Mishnah you have the Beis HaShechita that was positioned over the fire and all the arteries are facing downwards and it's much easier for the blood to flow out in that case. Nemo Mesayale, we try nevertheless again with another attempted support. Halev, when it comes to the heart of an animal, Koro umotzias damo, one rips the heart open and pours out any accumulated blood that's in it. Lo koro, let's say he didn't rip it open and prepared it with the blood contained within it. Koro la'achar bishulo umutur, you can rip it open after bishulo. The Havamina right now is Bishulo is a reference to roasting. So that we were talking about the roasting of a heart with its blood in it. And it says that if you didn't tear it open before the roasting, so tear it open after the roasting. And it's mutter. So, my time all. Why is it mutter? Was it not roasted with its blood in it? Lav mishum, is it not because the aminon kibolo kach polto? That whatever blood was being absorbed into the heart as it was being roasted, it was also releasing that blood. The Gemara says, Shiny Lev says you can't bring a raya to the case of Mulyusa that Rabba spoke about, because the case of the heart is different. The Shia, it's a very smooth type of meat. Shia is smooth, and hence it doesn't absorb. And Rashi goes even further and points out on the first narrow line, Velo Bola, it doesn't absorb. Afilu Bekedero Nami Shori. Yafagav Deleko Lameimar Kach Polto. Technically speaking, you could put a heart into a pot of boiling water, which would be strictly forbidden with regard to any other kind of meat. But with regard to the heart, it simply does not absorb. And in the case of cooking, so there's no concept of kibolo kach polto. So the point of the heart being different is stated, and therefore we can't use this source regarding heart preparation to support Rabba. The Gemara continues, and we have a marking here that's based on Rashi, and one might find that the other Rishonim learned differently. The Rach has a different take on this, but using the Rashi Pshat, this is a support. V'ho Rovin Sabo Tafle Ahi Bar Gozla L'Rav V'Omale. That's Rovin Saba. He prepared, Bar Gozla is a bird. He prepared a bird for Rav. Now, Tafle, there is a Machlokes, Rashi, and Tosus. Using the Tosus's Pshat, Tafle is a coating. He coated the bird like we talk about breading fish. Sometimes you fry fish with a coating on it, or fry different kinds of food items with a coating, a flour coating. So that's what Rovin did with regard to prepared some fried chicken, we'll say. Bar Gozla is a type of bird, and he did it without kashering the bird first, meaning without salting the bird first for the purpose of removing dam. He was relying on the roasting of it. So he had taken this bird, coated it with a flour coating, and he gave it to Rav Yomarle, and Rav said, "E mali tafle, if the breading is good, have li v'echol. I'll give some to me, and I'll eat from it." So we're bringing this in, as Rashi says, a siyata to Rabba, that how could this be mutter if not for the fact that we say kibolo kach polto? And here you have a case of stuffing, so to speak, of breading. So the Gemara says, no, this isn't a support, because what Rovin Sabo had prepared for Rav, hahi besmido de mafrir. Rashi says, besmido beiso shel solis. It's a type of dough made with solis quality flour that doesn't really stick very well to the meat that's being prepared, and it crumbles, and in its crumbling, the blood leaves it. So that is true in the case of the smida breading, but as far as the stuffing that Rabba was suggesting, so we don't see that over here. The Gemara asks a question, and that's why we have this inverted triangle. V'ha Rava, and notice it's a long question. V'ha Rava ikla lebei reish galusa. Rava visited the home of the exilarch, the toflu le bar avza, and they prepared for him this bird breading, roasted chicken with the breading on it. Omar, and he said, "Ilo dechazise de zig kezuzo chivra." If I didn't see it clear as white glass, zuzo chivra is white glass, if I didn't see it to be totally white, lo achli mine, I would not have eaten from it. Meaning, I saw no trace of any redness reflecting blood, therefore I ate from it. If you're of the opinion, like Rabbo said, that as it absorbs, it also releases, why speak about it being acceptable only because it's snow white? Afilu kilo zignami, even if it's not so white, it still would be mutter. The Gemara answers, Hasam bechivrusa deshorir. There, it was a type of flour that was used as the coating that's like our kind of flour, Rashi says, that's not soles. It doesn't have the soles, which was what we referred to earlier as the smida consistency. And therefore, since it's hard, so it's not polate. So that is then, we'll call the extreme other case, that since it's a hard type of coating, so it doesn't release the, it's not effective in the polto aspect of things. So that in general, one can say that the concept of kibolo kach polto applies, but in the case of this kind of hard coating, it won't be effective. And hence, you'll be left with the situation of it of having absorbed the blood, but not subsequently releasing it. Vehilchisa. Then the Gemara now issues rulings regarding different types of coatings. The smida, if you're using the smida, that was the soles type coating, which crumbles, bain asmik, bain lo asmik shaya, whether it appears asmik is reddish or it's not reddish, it's okay. As far as actual blood is concerned, the actual blood is released, and whatever redness remains, that's a function of something that's not prohibited. The next category, the chivrasa, that was that hard type coating. E zig kizuzu chivra sharia. If it's clear as white glass is, then it's okay. E lo osir. If it's not totally white, then it's prohibited. Dishar kamochim, other kinds of flour that's used for coating. Asmik osir. If it appears red, then it's osir. Lo asmik shori. If it's not red, then it's allowed. Hai mulyasa. Man de osar. The one who asers in the case of mulyasa, that was the stuffing that we saw before. Rabbo spoke about it. So anyone who prohibits mulyasa, afilu puma latachas. Even if the mouth or the neck of the animal that's coated is facing downwards. Uman deshori, he who allows it, afilu puma liel. Even with the mouth facing upwards, it will be allowed. Vehilchasa, muya soshori, afilu puma liel. And the Gemara rules quite a lenient ruling. Even if the mouth is facing upwards, it's okay. Rashi across from her says, Hilchasa muya sosharia, afilu puma liel, kishihi tuya betaner, when the animal is suspended in an oven. Afiafagav de achshav ein nekev lotse sadam, even though there's no hole for the blood to escape. Shori, kibolo, bosar, hachitzon kach polta, v'chom ha'ur sho'avo. As the meat absorbed the blood from within, it also releases it into the fire of the oven. In other words, the fire draws out the blood, so that there is no residual blood that prohibits the eating of it. We continue in the Gemara with, you'll note, of a long point. That's the nun that you see, and the subsequent vertical dash line. There are three items that are mentioned. Umtsa, bay, umizriki. Now on the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, mivneh heading. A little bit later, diamonds will begin to appear, and a double underline. These represent, the diamonds represent shalosh dugmois shel bosar, three types of meat, shetzorach lahotzi mimenu dam, that the need for blood removal exists. B'shloshtam yesh machlokes bein Rav Acha l'Ravina. In each one of the cases, you'll see a controversy between these two Amorayim. The three types of meat that we're referring to, we've listed, umtsa is one, two, bei, and three, mizraki. Bei is a reference, literally, is eggs, but it's a reference to a male animal and its organs of reproduction. The bei are the testicles. Mizraki are, Rashi calls them chutim gasiv shem vridim shebeves hashchita. It's a reference to arteries and veins that are in the neck of an animal. So those two are part of the meat, so to speak. So in preparing umtsa, bei, umizraki, pligi bo Rav Acha v'Ravina. Rav Acha and Ravina have a controversy that will be explained after the bracketed section. Now these brackets are here for skipping purposes, to make the reading easier. So if we skip them momentarily, you see that after mentioning that Rav Acha and Ravina argue, de Rav Acha lekula, Ravina lechumra, Rav Acha will take the lenient position of that which we are yet to see, and Ravina will take the more stringent opinion, v'ilchusok Rav Acha lekula, and the halacha will go like Rav Acha's lenient ruling. Once again, we haven't seen what they say, but we're telling you ahead of time that the method of preparation that will be discussed concerning umtsabei umizraki, Rav Acha and Ravina will argue about it, and Rav Acha will be the lenient opinion on the matter, and we will rule like him. Now, in the bracketed section, the Gemara points out regarding arguments between Rav Acha and Ravina. So we'll read the brackets. It says, Bechol Atorah Kula, that means throughout the Torah, meaning throughout the Gemara, Rav Acha l'chumra v'Ravina l'kula. Unless otherwise stated, if you see them coming together and arguing, and as we say, unless otherwise stated, Rav Acha will be representing the strict opinion, and Ravina the lenient opinion. V'ilchasuk Ravina l'kula, and in those other machlokesim, we will rule like Ravina leniently. Labar mehani tlas, with the exception of the following three, namely what we already mentioned, the umtsabei mizraki, we continue reading in the Gemara. The Rav Acha l'kula Ravina l'chumra. Here things switch around, where Rav Acha represents the lenient approach and Ravina the more restrictive approach. V'ilchasok Rav Acha l'kula. And the ruling will once again will go in the direction of leniency. In this case, in these three cases, Rav Acha represents that opinion. And now the Gemara explains Hai Umtsa, a piece of meat, the asmik, that appears red. Chatche umalche, if you cut it and salted it, afilu l'kedera shori. Kedera means cooking it in water. Even cooking in water would be okay. Shafte b'shibuda shori. If you took meat and put it on a skewer, and that of course is without the without cutting it and salting it, just put freshly slaughtered meat on a skewer, it's allowed, because what about the blood issue? Meidav dayev, the blood flows out. Achte agumre, let's say you took the umtsa, the piece of meat, and placed it directly on coals. Pligi bo Rav Acha Ravina, they argue. Chad osar v'chad shor. Now we know from before that since we're talking about one of the three points, in this case the umtsa, we were taught that Ravina is this restrictive opinion. So he's the Chad Osar. Chad Shori, that's Rav Acha. Mad Osar, he who asers this type of preparation of the freshly slaughtered meat placed on the coals is because maximus somis, the coals seal up. Maximus somis, it seals up the whatever blood vessels there are, preventing the blood from being released. Uman deshori, mishav shoiv, and he who allows is of the opinion that the heat of the coals draws it out, draws out the blood. Vilchasa mishav shoiv, and the Gemara rules leniently that the heat of the coals draws out the blood. V'chein be'i, likewise with regard to the be'i part of the animal and its preparation, and here the Gemara will appear quite repetitive with the same three stages. One, chadchinu umalchinu, if they're cut up and salted, afilu k'der sharin, the salt draws out whatever blood is there, and hence you can even, at that point, after it's been salted and rinsed off, you can then boil it up in a pot. Talinu b'shpuda sharyon, made of dayif. If you suspend them on a skewer over a fire, the blood flows out. Achtinu agom, if you place the bay on coals, pligi bo ravachov ravina, chad osar v'chad shori. Manda osar, masmis somis. The who prohibits holds that the blood vessels are sealed up, thereby preventing the release of the blood. Manda shori, mishav shoiv. Mishav shoiv means the fire, the heat of the gomri, of the coals, draws out the blood. V'chein mizriki, the same thing with the veins. Chatche umalche, afiluk dero shori. Talia b'shipuda, if you suspended the neck veins on a skewer, if you then made sure that the part of the, where the cutting took place in the slaughtering is suspended downwards, then it's mutter, meidev doiv, the blood flows out. Achte agomre, if you place the mizriki directly on coals, pligi boravachov ravina, chad osar v'chad shori, manda osar, mitzvah somis, manda shori, mishav shoiv. Vilchisa, mishav shoiv, and the Gemara rules leniently that if you take the mizriki and you place it on the coals, the coal heat will draw out the blood. We turn to the side of the Gemara under our nosei, our topic heading, where we've written Dine Umtza, the Asmik Chalye, the laws of a piece of meat whose Chalye became red. And then Pirush Chalye, Ayin Rashi Dimar Masal Chalye, Shnei Lishonos. There are two versions in Rashi as to what Chalye is. So if we look in the Rashi, the first pshat is Moyol Hayotzi Mimeno Kishechotcho. It's a reference to the meat juices that come out of meat when you're cutting it after it's been roasted. So there's sometimes this reddish juice that comes out. Lishnachrino, a different version is Shecholten Oisei Bechoimetz, the unkoshered, the non-salted meat, the freshly slaughtered meat is placed in vinegar. Reading the Rashi, Shecholten Oisei Bechoimetz La'achar Tzliyoso V'domoi Nischat L'soichoi. It's placed in vinegar after the meat has been roasted, and whatever blood is there, it's released into the vinegar. So now we turn to the Gemara. Hai umtza, the asmik chalye. Osir, if the chalye, the vinegar, appears red, then it's forbidden. Lo asmik chalye, if the vinegar is not reddened, then shori, you can use the vinegar. You can drink and eat the vinegar. Ravina, Omar, Ravina is more machmir, and he says, afilu lo asmik nami chaya osir, even if it doesn't turn red, nevertheless the vinegar is forbidden. E efshir, the less bo shiraiki doma. It's impossible that there aren't little streaks of blood, streaks, shiraiki, little streaks or strands of blood that are in there, or that are in the vinegar. Omar le mor bara meimar le ravashi. Abo, which is a reference to Meremar, megama le gemui. He would actually drink it. He would swallow it. Iko de amri ravashi gufei megamea le gemui. Another version of this is that Ravashi himself drank this vinegar. Amalei mor bar meimar ravashi. So more, the son of Amemar turns to Rashi and says, Abo hai chola de cholik be chadazimna, chola, the vinegar that's used for what we say, what we call chalita. Now chalita is a process where you place meat that hasn't been salted, you place it into vinegar. The vinegar is said to seal up the blood vessel so that there should be no more blood release taking place. So he said, Maremar says, chola, that's the vinegar, the cholit bay chadazimna, that this chalita process took place once. Su lo toni cholit bay, don't reuse the vinegar for another chalita session, another chalita experience. In other words, it's a type of a one-time deal. You have a bowl full of vinegar, you put the meat in there, the unkoshered meat, put it in there, it seals up the blood vessels. Now, when you take the meat out, so you've got now vinegar that should not be used a second time for this process. The Gemara asks, "Mai shno mechola mitmeha dechaltinon bay?" What's the difference between the second use of what was originally strong vinegar and the general, the basic use of chola mitma? Chola mitma is a weak type of vinegar, and yet we use it for chalita. So what's the difference between new chola mitmeha versus second round use of standard strong chola? The Gemara explains there's a difference. Hasam, in the case of the chola mitmeha, isay, and we're continuing at the top of ayin heyom and aleph, the kua de pera be'ayne, whatever original acidity there was in the vinegar, it's still present. It hasn't been used at all. So the kua de piri, and that's kua de piri is the acidity which apparently works wonders on the blood vessels, sealing them up. It's still there in its original strength. Hacha, in the case of using what was originally strong vinegar and recycling it for a second chalita, well, lesa l'kua de peri b'nei, the original kua de peri, the original acidity is no longer there. Therefore, it can't be used. The vinegar can't be used a second time, even though it started out as originally strong vinegar. Before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. So with that, we conclude our shiur for today.